Ruth is where we're going to be at today, Ruth chapter 2. If you found that, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading verses 21, 22, and verse 23. I'll read 21 and 23 if you'll read with me on verse 22 this morning, starting in Ruth chapter 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in the other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." And let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you so much for the reading of God's Word this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open it up, the freedom we have this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd allow the preaching, Lord, to reach the hearts this morning. I pray we'd learn from the message, Lord, we'd take away and then we'd apply it in our lives. Bless the special. We'll give you all the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
So many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really say? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I. For my Savior died on that old rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Here am I, here am I, Savior, here am I.
Thank you, Tony. Beautiful song and so good for the occasion. I want to speak this morning on the subject of resolve for his harvest. Resolve for his harvest. Let's pray together and we'll ask God to speak to us from His Word. Lord, thank You for good music that just blesses our heart, stirs our spirit, Lord. And I just pray, God, You'd give us that attitude, all not just during these days of missions conference, but, Lord, at Your disposal completely. Here we are. Send us, Lord. Send us across the street. Send us down the road. Send us across the city. Send us, if need be, around the world. But we are at Your disposal. Thank You for Jesus, who left heaven to come to this earth, give Himself so that we might be saved. And Lord, I know that there's still part of the harvest to be reaped. And so we want You to give us a heart for Your harvest through these messages and these days. Help me this morning, please, as we preach from Your book, in Jesus' name. And amen. Our hearts for His harvest. I like the banner. I appreciate the work that the De La Cruzes have done again for that beautiful banner. Our hearts for His harvest. We're using the word heart for an acrostic, and we're turning our attention to the most important 4 days in our church year. Those are the days of Missions Conference. Now, Missions doesn't end next week from Wednesday on February the 13th when the conference is over. Missions is with us all the time, but we designate and delegate those 4 days as a Missions Conference. We spoke last Sunday morning, the letter H, a heart for His conference. And then last Sunday night, the letter E, the expense of His harvest. The expense of His harvest. If you missed last week, weather-related, some of you had weather-related issues last week. The expense of His harvest. Friend, the harvest always costs. You're not going to get a harvest cost-free. Okay? But the blessing is, the worth of the harvest is always greater than the cost, greater than the expense. On Wednesday night, asleep during His harvest. Asleep during His harvest. A son that sleepeth in harvest causeth shame, the book of Proverbs says. We don't want to be asleep during His harvest. Now this morning, the letter R in the word heart, resolve for His harvest. The story of Ruth is one of the all-time great stories of the Bible. Now, when we are reading in chapter 2, Ruth has already made the journey from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi, her mother-in-law. You remember that Naomi and Elimelech went to Moab, taking 2 sons with them. Now, Elimelech went down there to sojourn, went there out of the will of God, and ended up staying 10 years, and the boys both married Moabite girls, and then over time, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And then the girls' husbands, Mahlon and Chilion, the 2 sons, the 2 husbands of the 2 Moabite girls, they died. And so after all those men had died, Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem, Judah. I don't have time to talk about that beautiful verse where Ruth said, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to stay where you stay, and lodge where you lodge, and your God's going to be my God. A lot of times that's used at weddings. It's a great verse. But anyway, I'm not going to go through that chapter 1 this morning, just kind of giving you a summary. So Naomi and Ruth go back to Bethlehem, Judah, Naomi's home. She'd been gone over 10 years. And as best as I can tell from reading this passage, when Naomi returns to her homeland, all she had was a house. That's all she had. They had nothing. And Ruth, being the younger woman and stronger, grabbed a couple of sacks and headed out to the fields to glean some grain for Naomi and for her and for Naomi's sustenance and for their food. And Ruth picked a field to glean in. It was harvest time in Bethlehem, Judah, barley harvest. And she picked a field to glean in, and by God's great and amazing grace, she landed in a field that was owned by a relative of her deceased husband's family. His name was Boaz. And Boaz was a kind and gracious man. And in the book of Ruth, Boaz is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Ruth and you read about Boaz, look for pictures of Jesus in Boaz. He's the kinsman redeemer. All right? So that's what we have here. Now, in verse number 23, she's harvesting, gleaning in Boaz's field. And in verse number 23, the Bible says that we see the resolve that Ruth had for the harvest. She kept fast to glean unto the end. Do you see that? She kept fast to glean unto the end. She had some kind of integrity. She had some kind of character. She had a depth of resolve that was so necessary for her to keep gleaning in the field. And listen, pal, if we are going to stay at this business of the Lord's harvest, we're going to have the same resolve that Ruth had. The same result. Now listen, friend, missions, and I'm not talking about the money part only. I'm talking about the command. I'm talking about the commission. I'm talking about the order that Jesus gave us to take the gospel to the world. That's missions, all right? That part of missions cannot be a matter of convenience. It has to be a matter of commitment. Has to be. In some churches, it's a matter of convenience. It can't be a matter of convenience. It has to be a matter of commitment. You see, we have a mandate to take the gospel to the world whether it's convenient or not. And that takes commitment. That takes resolve. Whenever and wherever there is commitment, there is resolve. And I praise the Lord over these many years over here in Faith Baptist Church, many individuals who make up this church have shown tremendous commitment to missions, which proves great resolve. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is Ruth had a few encouragements along the way that helped her stay resolved in this matter of the harvest. She didn't give up. She didn't throw in the towel. It may not be convenient, but she was committed to it. She was resolved, and these things encouraged Ruth. Boaz encouraged Ruth. Now, Boaz was the Lord of the earthly harvest. He was the one who owned the field, okay? The Lord of the earthly harvest of barley. And he is a picture of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, capital L, of his harvest, the souls of mankind. A spiritual harvest. And there are things and ways that Boaz encouraged Ruth in this chapter. And I think that you and I can get encouragement as well in this matter of missions. I want to give you three of them today and we'll be done. Number one, I want you to see that Boaz encouraged her to continue. He encouraged her to continue. Look at verse number 8 in the chapter. We'll look at some of the verses that we didn't read with Brother Bragg. Verse number 8, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Now, did you hear what he told her? He said, Ruth, it's okay. He said, you stay right here. Don't you leave this field. You just come day after day, after day after day, after week after week after week, and you work at gleaning the harvest. The same pattern. Now, folks, there's not a whole lot more you can do to glean the harvest than what Ruth was doing. She threw a couple bags over her shoulder, and she went to the field, and she started looking for grain. And when she found grain, she put it in the bag. There's really no new way to do that for Ruth. She's got to just day after day get a sack and go to the field and put the grain in the sack. And the next day she's got to get a sack, go to the field and put the grain in the sack. It's the same pattern day after day, week after week, all through the harvest. And if you were here last Sunday night, you remember that the harvest lasted anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks, counting barley harvest and then wheat harvest. So for 10 to 12 weeks, Ruth was supposed to just go and harvest, go and glean day after day. Boaz said, Ruth, it may seem a little monotonous, it may seem a little tedious to do the same thing over and over and over again, but you just continue. You stay right here and keep coming to the field and keep looking for the grain and keep gleaning the harvest. Now, friend, we hear the same encouragement from the Lord of the harvest today. The same encouragement. He says to me and you, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Lord of the spiritual harvest. He says, just stay at it. Stay at it, Christians. Don't get tired of it. Now, friend, look, we cannot improve on what God has set up as the way to reap the harvest. Now, I'm talking about the harvest worldwide. We can't improve on it. Now listen carefully. The biblical pattern is a man takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to a place and he begins to preach to the people who live in that place. He may go alone. He may go only with his wife and maybe a couple of kids. He may go with a co-worker. He may go with a small group of friends. but a person goes to a place and he witnesses and he preaches and he tells that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Because the message is the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And so over and over again, he has to give the gospel. And he begins to witness and preach. And a few folks get saved. And then they're gathered together. And then they're baptized. And then they're organized into a church. And you've got a group of baptized, born-again believers. And he teaches them. And he disciples them. Now look, that's how it is patterned for us in the book of Acts. That's how it's patterned for us. And God has blessed that pattern over all of these centuries, and God still blesses that pattern today. A man goes and he parks himself and he witnesses Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to save you from your sin. Eventually somebody believes that message and calls on Jesus and is saved. And then somebody else does. And then they get baptized and they form a group. And that's the pattern over and over and over and over. Yeah, I want something new. New scares me. I want something a little more romantic. I want something a little bit more, you know, modern. Look, people come along with good ideas to help enhance the spread of the gospel. People come along with ideas about radio. These fellas over here a couple Sunday nights ago got a radio ministry over there in Baghdad reaching a lot of folks. We say reaching a lot of them are hearing the gospel on the radio. Many are being saved. Sometimes TV, sometimes I was contacted by a group earlier this year. Well, last year, it was 2012. And they wanted me to get involved in this TV thing going on. And they had these great plans of putting TV shows together, TV programs, preaching the gospel. I didn't think it was a bad idea. I don't know if it's gotten off the ground or not. Haven't heard anything for a while. Internet and satellite. And I know a group that came up with some kind of email list. I mean, thousands of emails from all over the known world and sent the gospel out over email and told them, if you're interested, you need to respond and call this number. Now, look, I'm not against all those good things. Those are good things. They work. They help. But that's secondary to what God has always blessed. God has blessed a person. Called them. And sent them to an area where their people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God has blessed. Men and women who have taken the gospel. You see, when a man goes somewhere, he not only sees people saved, he teaches and he disciples those who get saved. And before long, hopefully, you've got a core of people. And hopefully, in that core of people, you've got a smaller core of young men. Young men who can be trained. Young men who can be taught. Young men who can be discipled. Young men who can be, who taught the biblical doctrines and principles of Scripture. Young men, like 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what Ben is so excited about right now. They're having some folks saved. They're having some folks baptized. That's a wonderful thing. We had his letter a couple of Wednesday nights ago. If you weren't here, they baptized, I think, 3 or 4. And Kenneth was one of the ones that got baptized in that muddy old place. But the thing that he's most excited about right now in Tana, over in Madagascar, is the fact that there are 4 or 5 young men in this core group that are faithful to church. And these young men are excited. They're interested. They want to learn the Bible. They're saying, teach us and instruct us. And he's giving much time to teach it. You look, African governments are unstable. I got a letter from Robert Mickey, Brother Marty, your friend, over in Kenya. We've been supporting Brother Mickey for years and years and years. Great work. Tremendous work. And he talked about the fact of how unstable the government in Kenya is. The last time Kenya had an election, they almost had a genocide. Almost had civil war, genocide. Crazy. And he says in his letter, pray, the elections are coming up again. Pray about this. You know, those missionaries in some of those places, folks, they don't know if they're going to be there next month or not. That's why it's so vital for them to take a group of those folks who are saved and teach and disciple and train. And when these missionaries are in these places like this, I mean, this is, they take the gospel, people get saved, they get baptized, they join together, they form a church, a group of baptized, born-again believers, and then they get hopefully a handful of young men whose hearts are on fire about serving God and loving God and wanting to work for God. And they train those young. That's what God has blessed. Brother Jack Ferguson was here Wednesday night. I was blessed by Brother Ferguson's display. What do you call it? Presentation, video, yeah, on Wednesday night. Blessed! And he told me, as a preacher, he said, tell the folks, he said, I forgot to tell him. He said, I got so excited about everything. Tell them that from that church in Tabasco, you saw pictures of it, there are 14 Mexican men who are out preaching. That's what I'm talking about. Now, why do you want to improve on that? Why do you want to change that? That's God's plan. Look, there are so many opportunities that come along. You ought to sit in the office for about a month and hear all, get these mailings and sometimes phone calls and sometimes this and that come out. And they sound so much more romantic than raising support for a man. So much more romantic. All these ideas and programs. Teach them to farm and teach them to irrigate and feed the hungry and get medicine to the sick and teach them how to play musical instruments. Listen carefully, friend. There is a huge difference between those things being the end and those things being a means to the end. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not opposed to some of that stuff. I want to tell you something, friend. There are groups who invest thousands of dollars for the purpose of medicine or clothing or food or music. You say, you're against that? Let me finish. And that's it. There's no intention of giving the gospel. There's no plan for giving the gospel. There's no forethought for giving the gospel. It's not about the gospel. It's about medicine. It's not about the gospel. It's about food. It's not about medicine. It's about a house. It's not about medicine. It's about some musical instrument. It's not about the gospel. It's about some musical instrument. And I want to tell you something, friend. That's not the pattern that God put in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, they went out with the gospel. And the gospel has been entrusted to the church. Now, if you can take the gospel and clothe them, amen. If you can take the gospel and feed them, amen. If you can take the gospel and help them learn how to build a house, amen. But you don't do all of those things to the exclusion of giving them the gospel. If you've got to choose one thing to do for somebody, give them the gospel. And he said, just continue. Just stay at it. Look, I pulled some missionary letters this morning. This is a blessing, man. There has been so much philanthropy, in the name of God that has no intention of giving the gospel. We're not called to be philanthropists. We're called to be witnesses. I'm not against philanthropy. You people leave here and say, man, you don't want to clothe anybody, give anybody anything to eat. No, you're wrong. But the church's mission is not to do that to the exclusion of giving the gospel. The church's mission is to first, primary, above all else, give the gospel. Give the gospel. Here's Mark Sixtad. He was here, what, 2-3 years ago at Pocatar Conference? We've been supporting it for years, before I came here. He said, this year we fed just over 10,260 prisoners. We said, there you go, Pastor, right there. He fed people a good meal. We fed 10,260 prisoners and staff members and a few family members. All received the gospel message. And we recorded over 4,700 professions of faith. In fact, one of the personal people that works on staff went to Mark and asked him if he would come to his home to speak with his family. This is one of the staff members who works at the prison. And so Mark agreed, and he went with him on a Saturday morning. He gets off work at 6 a.m., so Brother Sigstad was at his house early. He said, when I arrived, he asked me to wait while he got some friends. By 10 a.m., there were 62 people at his house. He preached the message, and 38 of those 62 got saved. You don't just feed them a meal and say, God bless you. You give them the gospel. Here's missionary Bob Maxletter. I got to watch my time because I want to finish this morning. But here's missionary, all that highlight. Here is the church in Bingerville, Ivory Coast. And they have this literacy center. We have 180 students. It reaches out to the Muslim community. We have 180 students from ages 12 to 63. Classes meet every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Through this ministry, we are able to give the gospel to Muslims on a regular basis, which is necessary in order to win Muslims to Christ. Because that's his objective, not to teach them how to read, to get them the gospel. Here's the medical work in Bingerville. Through using medicine, we were able to give the gospel to over 1,200 people amongst the faculty, staff, and student body of this school. Here's the Emmanuel Basketball Center of Bingerville. This has provided, we have four teams that compete in the national basketball season. This has provided an excellent opportunity to give the gospel to the youth of our town. Each week, we are able to open the scriptures with them. Do you get what I'm saying this morning, folks? The objective is the gospel. The objective is not basketball. Okay? Here's the soccer center of Bingerville. Same thing. I've got a cousin, Joy Angel, who's been in medical missions for years and years and years and years. And she takes trips all over the world and goes in sometimes by canoe and boat to third world places and villages and helps doctor people. They would not think of going to all that expense and trouble without sharing the gospel with them. Now, that is what you and I are to continue in. We are to continue. You know what? Jesus asked a very sobering question in Mark 8:31. You know what he said? He asked this question. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if he's lost and I give him a happy meal and a nice suit of clothes and a musical instrument, and some medicine, and he has a full belly, and a healthy body, and a clothed body, and he's a happy man, I never share Christ with him, and he dies and goes to hell. It has profited him nothing. That's what Jesus said. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Look, folks, I'm not against making sick people well, hungry people full, sad people laugh. I'm not against making bored people have some fun. But no gospel? No gospel? No witness for Christ? You know, every once in a while we get these people who come along with these ideas about doing these great big things in the community. You were talking with one not too long ago. Well, how are we going to get the gospel to them? Oh, we're not worried about that. I'm sorry, friend. The priority is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if that loses its romanticism, so be it. If that loses its awe, that's too bad. Because that's what we're told to continue in. Continue, continue. Ruth, you stay right here and you keep gleaning and you keep working and you come back day after day after day after day with your sack and you put the grain in the sack and don't you leave this field, you stay at it. He encouraged her to continue. And Christian, we need to keep finding men who are going to take the gospel to these countries around the world and keep raising money and keep supporting them and keep sending them. And if they never teach somebody how to play an instrument, if they never can afford to put clothes on somebody's back, if at least they can get there and give them the gospel. At least. He encouraged her to continue. That's the longest point. Let me give you the last two. Number two, he encouraged her. I like this one. He encouraged her with his comprehension. Look at verse number 11. He encouraged her with his comprehension. And Boaz answered and said unto her, Ruth. Now look at this. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a place which thou knewest not heretofore. Look at it. She's out there. She's got her sack. She's got the field. She's got a handful of grain. And Boaz rides up on his horse and starts talking to her. And he says, listen, Ruth. He said, won't you stay right here? Just stay in the field. Don't leave this field. Stay right here day after day. You continue in this field. And he said, by the way, I love it. He said, I know all about what's going on in your life. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through now. I've seen it all. There's nothing in your life that has escaped my attention. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of comprehension. This is not some remote, faraway, untouchable boss who's not in contact with people that are working in his field. This man comprehends her situation. He knew what she was facing. He knew her commitment. He knew her resolve. Now, church, listen. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He sees it all. And in Philippians 4:18, when Paul wrote back to the church about their missions giving, he said, I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now watch this. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. God knows what you sent. God knows what you gave. God knows what you prayed. God has seen all of it. And it's not just pleasant to me. It's wonderful for me, church, to receive this gift. That's what Paul said. But I want to tell you something. It's not just me who notices it. God has seen it, and God is pleased, and God is happy with your generosity. Listen, friend, oftentimes as preachers, we warn people, don't forget, God is watching. He sees everything you do, so you better be good. I told a little fellow that this week who told a lie. He told a lie. I said, now you got to listen, son. He said, you got to know that God hears everything you say. And when you lie, God hears it. And that's true. Yeah. But the other side of the coin is this. Child of God, your Father is watching. And He comprehends everything in your life. He knows what you put in the plate for missions. He knows what kind of car you could drive. He knows what kind of toys you could have. He knows how tight it is. He sees what you do. He knows when you pray. He knows taxes have gone up and you still give. He sees. He takes note. He sees. God comprehends it all. He don't miss a thing. Not a thing. He's not some remote potentate sitting on a throne far off somewhere disinterested in His people. Oh, He's a potentate and He's sitting on a throne far off somewhere. But He is comprehending everything that takes place. And when that plate went down those pews a little while ago and people in this church sacrificed to put money to keep somebody on the mission field preaching the gospel, God took note of that. He sees it. He watches it. He takes it all. Him! He's comprehending it all. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. My Father's watching. So He encouraged her to continue, stay at it. And then He encouraged her with His comprehension. Ruth, I know what's going on in your life. And Christian, God says, hey, I'm fully aware of the sacrifices you're making. And I want you to understand that it is a sweet smell in the nostrils of Almighty God this morning. If you gave permissions this morning and you sacrificed in order to do so, God, that was a sweet smell and He didn't miss it. He wasn't asleep. No, He wasn't. So He encouraged her with His comprehension. And then last of all, He encouraged her with compensation. Now, I like this one. Look at verse number 12. He encouraged her with compensation. He said, the Lord recompense thy work. Now, Ruth is in the field, right? She's got a sack there. And she's picking up grain. She's gleaning. And He said to her, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now look down at verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? My goodness, look at this grain. And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Ruth went home with that sack of grain thrown over her shoulder, and she got into the house and she said, Mom, look what I... And Naomi said, Ruth, where have you been gleaning? That's an unbelievable amount of grain just to go out in the field and just glean. It's the gleaning, just not the main harvest. It's incredible. Where have you been gleaning? I've been gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz. Well, this is wonderful. That was her recompense. Ruth went to work and she got recompensed with a sack full of grain. And she did that every day. Next day she went out, she went to work, and God recompensed her with a sack full of grain. I want to tell you something, Christian. I can prove to you, and I have to many of you over these years from the Bible, that God will recompense money you give to missions. He gives it back. He doesn't throw it out of the sky and come flopping down in dollar bills and you run around and catch them. Somehow, some way, He gives it back. Recompense. That's what the word means, give it back. Recompense. But now, wait a minute. He didn't only say recompense. He said full reward. That's different than recompense. One day she's out there slaving away and she's picking up that grain, picking up that grain, picking up that grain. Boaz comes riding up on his horse. Hey, Ruth. Hey, Boaz. Still busy picking up grain? Yes, sir. You know, I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think your days of gleaning in the field are over. What do you mean, Boaz? Would you be my wife? Sir? Yeah, would you marry me? And she moved in with Boaz and became his wife. She didn't have to go to the field and glean anymore. Those days were over. And Christian, Lord, this is because I love you and I want somebody. I want Clark Berryman to go to Georgia and preach. Georgia, not the state here in America, the country Georgia. I want you to go to Georgia and preach the gospel. And Sam Bunnell, I want you to go to Panama and preach the gospel. And so and so, Merlo, I want you to go back work with your daddy in Argentina. And who's the fourth guy? Sorry? Spencer, I want you to keep going over to Kenya, and I want to help you, and I want to just keep giving, and I want to just keep giving, and I want to just keep giving one of these days. Da da da. Hey. Last Sunday morning, I think it was Dennis. Were you taking attendance on the bus last Sunday? Yeah, last Sunday. We were standing out there in the foyer. We were talking about something. We were right underneath a speaker in the foyer. You know those speakers? And somebody was in the sound booth and started the music. Remember this? And the song started with a trumpet blast. Bah! And Dennis and I are engaged in talking. I hear the trumpet. I thought, am I right? Am I joking? You know, he said he'd reach for my legs so he wouldn't be left behind. Honestly, for a split second, I thought, we're going. Then I didn't go, and I think, man, I hope I'm wrong. But the point I'm getting at, Christian, missions and continue. And yet we just keep one of these days. The Lord Jesus, if you let me say it this way, is going to leave heaven and stop halfway through, and that trumpet is going to sound. And we're going to leave. We're not going to be working in this field anymore. We're going to live with Boaz. We're going to live with Boaz. Whew. Our Redeemer. And you know what I hope? I hope by the grace of God that whenever Jesus comes the previous Sunday, I could still put money in the plate to help missionaries go take the gospel to the world. Oh, yeah. Whew. Just stay at it, Christian. And there are these things, we just seem to do the same things over and over, same things. Have church, read the Bible and preach, the same thing. Go out on Tuesday, missionary, same thing. Will you improve on what God did then? You going to improve on what God did? I don't think you and I can make it any better, folks. I think we better just stick with what He told us to do. Let's just keep working. Let's keep sowing. Let's keep gleaning. Let's keep going after. Let's keep getting the harvest in. The trumpet's going to sound really one of these days. And Dennis will be left behind. And I'll fly. That was the craziest thing that's ever happened. I'll promise you that. I thought for sure the rapture was coming. One of these days. One of these days. I don't think you need to do this anymore. Come on. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. What a joy to serve you. What a delight to live for you. And Lord, what a joy and wonderful thing it is to be involved with you in the work of your harvest. I pray that you'll put it on the hearts of your people once again this year to be involved in this work. Lord, may we not grow weary in it, but continue. She gleaned until the end. Help us to keep sending and going ourselves and telling others about Christ and making it possible for others to go through giving. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize you comprehend it all. You never miss a lick. And then, Lord, help us to just know that one of these days, you may take care of us now, but one of these days we're going to get full reward. We see you face to face, go to live with you. Oh, what a joy. Help us to be faithful, I pray, in Jesus' name.